Oh, here we go again. Another episode where we're going to talk about embracing love over judgment. A call to authentic Christian witness. I'm Matt Pierce. This is the Micah's Call podcast and website. And I really hope you enjoy what I'm doing here, because I'm trying not to divide us, but trying to help make us stronger, better Christians, whatever tradition we follow. On this podcast, we explore in depth a lot of times the breadth of Christian living in the modern world. And today, we're going to tackle a challenging, as they all are, but crucial topic. Why, despite some of the made-up statistics, why fewer people are coming to church and participating in church? And how are our own actions contributing to this trend? So we're going to dive into the Christian call to, like we do everything, love authentically, leaving the judgment behind and embracing the inclusivity of Jesus Christ. Because it's not an exclusive club. Despite what some people want to believe, it's not an exclusive club. It's not a place for just the elect. We hear that word a lot. The elect, the chosen. That's very Calvinist. It's almost like you're foreordained, but you still have to make a choice. That's a whole other topic. But you know, in our churches, we often hear sermons about the transformative love of Jesus. A love that's radical, unconditional, all-embracing. But then there's that noticeable gap between what we proclaim and what we do. So when Christians prioritize changing the viewpoint of others over just genuinely loving them, what we're doing is we're risking alienating these people that we hope to invite into this transformative journey. I mean, that's point blank. I want us to think a little bit about Paul's words to the Romans in chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches and his kindness, forbearance, patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" I think Paul is reminding us that it's God's kindness, not our judgment, that leads to somebody changing, somebody converting, somebody really giving their life to Christ. So where do we fit in this picture? Where do we fit into this at? You know, I think if we spend more time having these discussions like this, how we fit into this picture, we can better act like Jesus, and we can do better about not being so hateful and angry all the time. But doing it while we say, "I love you, brother. You just need to change." They know this. Anyway, if we focus, I think, on that was that rabbit or that squirrel, you know. But I think if we focus, y'all, on pointing out faults or things that we think are faults or things that we believe are faults, rather than offering a comfortable, welcoming space, then we inadvertently turn people away from the church. The essence of our faith is love. That message gets lost in the noise of this practice where we have to correct people and moral and social policing, right? It gets lost in all of this. It's not cute. I know some of you are thinking, this guy here. It's not cute. It's not funny in the least. You see, Jesus earned the title, if you will, from a lot of the lawmakers as being a friend of sinners. He earned that because he earned that title, not because he condoned sin, but really because he was profoundly present with those in society that the hypocrites had cast out. They said, well, we welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you. We love you, brother. We love you. We welcome you. We want you to be part of this. But then we want you to come in, but we want you to do this, and you have to do this. And God said you had to do that. And Jesus said you had to do this. And then you can be part of it. You know what? Let God use those things the way that he wants them to. Okay? Think about that. In Matthew 9, I'm horrible with remembering scripture. In Matthew 9, 10 through 13, Jesus has dinner with tax collectors and sinners, right? Nobody likes tax collectors. But Jesus responds to the Pharisees who were criticizing him. You know what he said in Matthew 9, 10 through 13? He said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor. And I said this in another episode. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I've come not to call the righteous, but the sinner. So this passage, which I talk about a lot, this passage really highlights the focus of Jesus being on inclusion and love. Jesus's mission was not about forming an elite group of elect who are morally or socially or prophetically right. No, his message was about inviting the broken, the confused, the hurt, and welcoming them into a loving relationship with God. So I really do believe this, y'all. By embracing this, we're called not to judge people, but to love people. You see, judgment is the sole province of God. You don't believe me? Go to James 4:12. There's only one lawgiver and one judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So who are you? Who are you? What gives you the right? I mean, I'm just saying what needs to be said, y'all. I mean, you can agree with it or not. I don't care. I love you regardless. But you have to understand that laws like this is sacred, this is important. You know what? Let God use the sacred to influence the people that he wants to come in. Look, listen to me. If it's that sacred, then God will use that as a tool. And then it's not up to us to decide how that tool gets used. I mean, what if instead of obsessing over converting people or enforcing viewpoints or, you know, trying to deem people worthy of the benefits of being in the church, what if we didn't focus on that and we simply put the focus on doing good and loving freely and letting God's love work through the sacred or the traditional or the commanded. Let God work through that. This doesn't mean abandoning our beliefs, but it does mean prioritizing our shared humanity. And it means putting a priority on the command to love your neighbors without any preconditions, including them in everything that you do. Everything that you do. sacred or not, it doesn't matter. If that's created by God, it's a tool of God. Let him use it how he wishes. What? You're going to tell somebody that they should be able to take the Eucharist? Communion? Yeah. Yeah. Because what if one day they're taking the communion or they're worshiping in one of our churches or participating in some sacred rite that's not just a reward for us here on earth? What if they're partaking of this or they're participating in this and that's where they really feel the conversion happen? Take the focus of converting people off of man and take the focus. I get it. Then you couldn't use these as tools for coercion. I get it. Well, coercion is not conversion. Giving out a reward or a ticket to, well, now, okay, you're part of the elect. You can participate now. How beautiful is this? Now, what's more beautiful is if you let God use his tools that he created. Huh. So, what if instead of obsessing over converting others and enforcing our worldview, what if we simply focused on doing good and loving freely? Now, like I said, I don't believe that this means abandoning our beliefs, but it does mean prioritizing our shared humanity and putting the real focus on loving our neighbors without any precondition. Galatians 5:14. It talks about this perfectly. You know what it says? Paul's letter to the Galatia. It says, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself." You see, the entire law is fulfilled by that one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Loving others without an agenda opens the door for genuine relationships. And ironically, it does draw people closer to the divine mystery that we all cherish. So when we engage in acts of love and kindness, we reflect, how do I want to say this? When we engage in acts of love and kindness, we reflect the heart of the Gospels. This authentic witness is what can break down barriers. It can warm hearts. It can lead to a person's true, genuine conversion. By abandoning what is sacred and letting God use that for his own will. And we just love them and we just include them. And so what? There is no reward that we give people here on earth. Okay? Peace out. Okay? If you believe the scriptures, your reward is in heaven. Okay? And I'm going to focus on this. In our churches, we sometimes guard our traditions and our sacred practices. And we do that because we fear that opening them up might lead to a dilution or desecration or something. But it doesn't. What if these sacred acts are the very thing that God uses to draw people closer to him? What if, and don't just tell them about what happens, and don't just let them watch, and don't just let them think about it, but let them participate. Because in that moment, they might see you worshiping, they might see you loving, they might see you being genuine with God, and that's the conversion they need. They don't need you to sit there and tell them how great it is, or how wonderful it is, or if you do this, 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 and this, look, you get to participate. Because then you feel like you're just kind of like, oh, well, okay, I got to do this. And then you say, well, it's sacred. It's sacred. The Eucharist, the temples, this, that, that, all this stuff is sacred. To who? To To who? To us? To God? Why don't we quit limiting God? Why don't we quit that and just let God work? You know, by inviting others to participate in what we hold sacred, and I said this earlier, we're allowing them to experience God in their own way. This encounter with the divine is going to be more compelling than anything that we could ever do. Participation leads to questions, and questions are not to be feared, but to be embraced. Because they're the very beginning, the very seed of a faith journey in someone. Questions are not bad. Including those that we, the world, say are unworthy. Let them experience. Sometimes people need the experience. For God to work, because we're humans. I don't need somebody to tell me how great something is. I don't need somebody to, you know, try to convince me of that. Sometimes you just need to feel it, because that's where you feel God work. So, this is tough. So, as I close today's episode, I want to encourage you, all of us, to reflect on how we can better embody the love of Christ in our daily interactions with people. Let's take a step back from judgment and trying to deem someone worthy. And, you know, well, I'm a pastor, or I'm this or that, and I'm the judge of Israel, right? Says who? Anyway, let's take a step back from all that and just fully trust God for once that he really knows what he's doing and that he'll work through our open hearts, and he'll open doors. And let's remember, it's not our role to change hearts. Our role is to love. God takes care of the rest. That's why I love so much, like, in the Catholic Church, confession is seen as sacred. Right? But a non-Catholic, though they can't get absolution, they can still go to confession. In the Episcopal Church, any baptized Christian can take sacrament, can take the Eucharist. There's no harm in this. There's no harm in the letting people be moved by the sacred and letting them experience that, because that experience will lead them closer to God. And that experience should let them feel something. God will take care of it. I'm telling you. He does. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. Just trust on that. Boy, has this been deep or what? Oh, this is a deep one. Wow. As, you know, it seems like all the conversations on here are a little one-sided, but I hope that you're talking back with me and you're discussing this with me. I mean, it's okay to talk to your phone or talk to your podcast. You know, just say, well, I'm talking to Matt. You know, these are conversations. That's why I paused a little bit there to let you think about this. Let it sink in a little bit. You know, that in radio, we call that the dramatic pause. Well, it's not for drama. It's to let you think about what I'm trying to say. So, now, anyway, thanks, guys, for tuning in. I want us to all be inspired to live more like Jesus, the true friend of sinners. I want us to try to make our churches become beacons of love and acceptance in a world that really needs it. Okay? God bless you. And I want you to walk away with this idea that we can love without judgment. We can love without fear. We can love without hate. We can love, and we can keep things sacred without excluding. It can be done. It really can. Thank you all so much for listening to Micah's Calls podcast. This I put a lot of work into this thing. And I've really prayed about this thing. And I've really felt like these are questions that need to be asked. And questions that need to be discussed. Because there's a lot of people out there who have a lot of these same questions. And all they're getting is, here, read this. Listen to this. Study this. Here's a talk. Here's a book. Here's a da-da-da-da-da. We're not having genuine discussions because we're relying on that. And I really want us to focus more on what we can do to live more Christ-like. And Micah's Call is an attempt at that, to try to bring us together, to put our differences aside. Let God be the almighty judge of things and people, and put our beliefs that we have to be right about something all the time aside. I may be wrong. I don't know. I may be completely wrong on this. On everything I say, I may be completely wrong. I'm willing to hear it. This is what I believe, and this is what true studying has brought me to over 43 years. Now, I finally decided that I want to share this with you. I want to make you a part of this, and I hope you appreciate that. So, I hope you really are getting something out of this that is worthwhile, that is really bringing you closer to the people that Jesus loved the most. And more importantly, I hope it inspires you to love like Jesus. So anyway, thanks for joining me. I want us to be inspired. I want us to have conversations. I want us to live more like Jesus, the true friend of sinners. And I want our churches and our traditions to reflect that. Probably not going to get what I want, but I hope this inspires someone to do that. I am Matt. Thanks for joining me again. I know this has been a little bit longer. It seems like I've rambled from time to time, but I love you. You people are great. Thanks for supporting this podcast, and thanks for walking with me through these very difficult thoughts. Now go think and go love like Jesus, okay? Take care. We'll see you on the next episode, y'all. Adios.